Good evening, everyone, and welcome to BBS Late Night. You're listening to Flying Higher, hosted by Gina E. Jones. My name is Doug Burley, and I'm co-hosting with Gina this evening. And just to fill you in, Flying Higher is a unique, enlightening program on BBS Late Night that will help ensure us all to fly to a new altitude, high above some of the turbulence of our everyday lives that limit us to negativity and some of the darkness that creeps in every day. And now, here's Gina.
Good evening and welcome. It's exciting to be here, and thank you for joining us on BBS Radio Late Night. And if you want to get more information about our programming, you can go to www.flying-higher.com. But before we get started, I'd like to let the audience know that Doug will be joining us regularly each week as we highlight the efforts of conscious people that are empowering individuals with universal knowledge and spiritual tools to help all of us fly higher through the turbulent days ahead. And we'll expound a little bit further on that on the guests that we'll be having here in March and some upcoming guests we already have booked in April and June. So welcome, and we'll get started.
Okay, Gina. And I'm sure the audience, because this is your third show, some of the audience may be wondering, how did you get started down this path to spiritual enlightenment? Maybe that would be helpful to start there.
Well, I've just authored a new book called Flying Between Heaven and Earth, and that's just come out. It's been a process, and I guess all of our lives we all have a process and lessons to learn along the way, and I was able to pull together all of the information that I've learned in my adult life and weave it into a magical story to share with everyone. I guess really what drew me in my younger years to a lot of metaphysical information that I brought forth was, don't laugh, but I was 16 years old and I got a Cosmopolitan magazine, I guess it's Cosmo Girl now for 16-year-olds, but they had a pull-out section on astrology. It was Linda Goodman's sun signs. It was the first time I had ever heard about astrology or knew anything about that. And I thought I was so special and so unique, as we all do, and was sort of blown away when I read the astrology for an Aries. And I thought, my goodness, someone's followed me around. How did they get all of this? It was really quite astonishing to find out that in black and white, there I was. It's very, very predictable. And I pulled that little section out and kept it under my pillow for a long, long time and was just really drawn to this information that we're all sort of have a life already planned out based on our birth dates. So that was sort of the beginning for me. What about you? What drew you to
Well, that's spiritual? That's an odd source to begin your journey down enlightenment in Cosmopolitan magazine.
Yes, indeed.
And really, did you honestly sleep with that under your pillow? Because most other women would sleep with other things under their pillow, maybe some picture of some hot guy or something.
No, that makes me very different. No, that was interesting. It was interesting to find out that so much of my life had already been laid out and determined before I even got here. So that really captivated me.
Well, you asked me before what started me down that path. Well, actually, when I was very young, it's hard for me to believe so many years have gone by, but the organized religions never really resonated with me. I always felt that when I would sit in church or listen to a sermon that it just didn't seem right. It didn't seem to sink in or make sense to me. And I used to find myself daydreaming and thinking about other things. And then as I started to read more and started to look at other pieces of information and decided that, you know, we couldn't be on this little rock in the middle of the solar system here in the middle of a big universe all by ourselves. And it always fascinated me to think that we're here just for a temporary period, and then we go somewhere else, and then we come back again and continue on this this adventure that we've created for ourselves. It's almost like a game. It's like, you know, you're it and then you're out and then you come back in again as someone else. And it's all, even like if you see people stop at a light and they get out of the car and they change seats and run around before the light changes and try to get back in the car and close the doors. Well, I felt that that's very much how it felt to me. So I actually started reading about a lot of spirituality and other forms of understanding of how the universe began. And
yeah, was that in Cosmo magazine?
No, that wasn't in any magazine. It was a lot of it was through friends, and some friends were very helpful. They just would mention things to me, and when I would start thinking about it, I would say, you know, that does make sense to me. It doesn't make sense what I was hearing in church, but this does make sense to me, and I don't know if there's anyone else out there with the same experience, but I always felt that there's more to it than just having an outside force or an outside God or entity being the one who's in control of your life. What about us? Mm-hmm. So, Gina, that's kind of how I began down that path, and I found it to be kind of, you know, looking down the rabbit hole. It's how far down does it go, and how much more can I learn?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's different ways for us to come together, and it's interesting that you and I had two different paths, and we end up at the same place. And I'm sure everybody has their own separate path to finding their own reality and their own understanding of what's going on. And that, I'm sure, changes daily for everybody as we encounter more and more information. And this show is designed to help enlighten everyone about the information that's out there, because I think in the days ahead we're going to be hearing more and more information, but also misinformation. So we want to highlight people and businesses that we come across in this show to bring forth information that I think will help guide people to a better understanding of what life is all about, or at least open people up to an alternate reality and an open-mindedness to help us figure out where we're going and how we're going to get there. We're all on this planet together.
That's an interesting thing when you mention about misinformation, because it reminds me of some recent political events here that there was a little bit of misinformation going on. And when people start to really step back and look at the bigger picture and start to understand that what they see is not necessarily the reality on every level, and it doesn't just mean on the political side, it means on every level of your life. And I do a lot of work with major international corporations to do training and facilitation and help their people to grow. And sometimes when I see the way business is done and I see some of the practices that go on in the business world, it rubs me the wrong way. But as they say, it is what it is, so you have to make the best of it. And when you can, to bring people up to a higher level through giving them little bits of information that they can go and start to think about and maybe investigate for themselves. And I don't know if you've done anything like that yourself.
Well, I guess we all, again, go through our own paths and our own environments and even in our own careers. And for me, as a flight attendant for a major airline for 28 years, I sort of looked at things from a different perspective, a higher perspective in some ways.
You mean you were trying to leave the planet?
Well, yeah, we would take off and then we kind of reach cruise altitude and I wanted to keep going, but then we'd land, so here I am again. But it was interesting, and I know as passengers, a lot of us have done this, just sitting in a seat, and the plane takes off, and, you know, there's a lot of things that occurred that day before you got there, and if you had to drive in traffic here in Southern California, you certainly appreciate the fact that you even got there on time and alive, as it is that way for a lot of people all around the country and around the world. But you could have encountered all sorts of things that day. You could have stubbed your toe or cut yourself shaving or had overslept, all sorts of challenges. And, you know, you think that everybody in the world should hear about it. It just feels like it's so big that you want to just tell everybody what happened and how bad your day was or how things started or even how good things were. And then you get in the airplane and you take off and you're not even a few hundred feet, maybe 1,000 feet, and you basically, things start to disappear. You can no longer see the plants, you no longer see the animals, you no longer see people or buildings or cars, and as you go higher and higher, all of a sudden everything that was reality you can no longer see. And then when you get to, you know, 39,000 feet, you realize, wow, it's like, does anybody even know that we're here? And, you know, what is it all about, and who are we, and what are we doing here? So So it's an interesting perspective, and it sort of puts things in perspective when you think that everything is so important and everything is so challenging.
I know you've told me on several occasions that when you were a flight attendant that you felt that it was your mission to help guide people and be there in case there was an emergency and help them if there was an emergency to get off the plane, certainly, and to instruct them on what to do next. What part do you feel that played in helping your spiritual growth, especially when you started putting the book together?
Well, I started to see that with a lot of the spiritual metaphysical information that I was learning and a lot of the lectures and seminars that I attended, and that there was a similarity and that there were sort of parallels in what I was doing. Of course, we all are here to serve each other and to help each other along our path. But flying is a different environment. It's a different perspective. It's a different industry. It's really not one that can be compared to too many others. And when I started looking at passengers and people, as I was learning a lot of metaphysical information, I could see maybe where some of this was playing through, particularly when I was reading and finding out about past lives and found out that, in fact, there are many ways that past lives can carry over and actually occur in our present-day lives, issues that we've had in previous lives, even physical issues and limitations or challenges or even thought processes that we carry forward from one lifetime to another. And so when I would have passengers who were obviously not in need of any more food but continued to ask for more food or desserts or would ask for things that, you know, really was not in their best interest.
I bet you had a lot of input for your characters in your book Flying Between Heaven and Earth with the passengers.
Well, I did, and I would see that maybe in some of this stuff that passengers who were, you know, asking for things or doing things that I couldn't understand or would see that it was not necessarily in their best interest, maybe a carryover from a previous lifetime. And so that maybe someone who is overweight in this life may still be carrying over the thought process of trying to fulfill themselves. And maybe they were a starving child in a previous lifetime, someone who may not have had food or anything. So in this lifetime, they're still trying to get more and more, and they, I don't know, I just started thinking about these things and understanding that we are all one and that none of us is any better or less than someone else. And so I always treated people who were in first class or in coach the same. To me, everybody is the same and they deserve the same treatment, be it a movie star or a politician or a celebrity who was flying in first class versus somebody who was on a standby tickets, you know, on a student pass who barely had the money to purchase that ticket. I always felt that we are all one and that we're all deserved to be treated the same. And yet there are still people who come along and, you know, sort of challenge you on those thoughts and those principles.
I can imagine.
Yes, and so it makes it interesting. And I'd like to share with the audience that's how you and I met, was on an airplane. And it wasn't until you started speaking about the universe that you really captured my attention.
Yeah, the universe.
Yes. Most people don't speak of the Creator or God in that particular conversation and refer to the universe. So that sort of clued me in that maybe you were flying higher at a different altitude, even though we were all on the same airplane.
Well, I certainly was trying to.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Well, one of the things that I noticed with spirituality is that it is very personal for every person, and I think when having read your book, Flying Between Heaven and Earth, which incidentally, for those of you out there listening, you can obtain it by going to flyingbetweenheavenandearth.com, and you can order it directly from that website, and certainly be able to order it to get shipped right to your office or to your home, so that you can read Gina's novel and get some of the ideas that she's put forth there that she brings out on the show every week. But when I read that, I felt that you had incorporated a lot of the personalities that I had met, certainly in my travels. I mean, you mentioned before about the politicians. Tell me, did they ever really answer you when you asked them what drink they wanted, or did they bounce around and not give you an answer like they normally do? Were they able to decide? Because some of them aren't able to decide.
No, they were pretty clear in that area. But they like to... No, I can't generalize. That's one thing I have learned, is you really cannot generalize about anything or any group of people or anything like that. Some of the most down-to-earth, no pun intended, down-to-earth people that I've met are actually in the political arena. So I, again, don't like to generalize, because that's something that I've really tried not to do. And I learned that through that job, being a flight attendant. But, boy, there's such a vast range of people and personalities, and I've learned in that is never assume that you know who you're talking to. So you never can be sure where anybody is or who anybody is.
Or what their level of spiritual knowledge is.
Exactly. Some of the greatest lessons I've ever learned were from the most unlikely people and the most unlikely characters that you have ever encountered. And one thing that I always try to do, and when I encounter people who really try your patience, especially when there are delays and situations that are beyond anybody's control, that, you know, I just try to envision that person as having been my grandmother, because I know how she would have been in that situation and how she really would have wanted the care and attention and personalized attention from the flight attendants or from the crew to make sure that everything was okay. But one thing that I've learned too in the metaphysical realm and understanding some of the esoteric sciences is that when the flight is delayed or when you're sitting next to a certain person, it all is lined up for a specific reason, and that really everything, even if your flight is delayed or if you're stuck in traffic or wherever it is that your world takes you, that it is all on time, it is all on schedule, and everything is playing out just the way it should. And one thing that I found out in my past and in my own personal journey is that synchronicity plays out every day if you just allow and go into the flow and follow your intuition. And one of the things that reminds us of this is deja vu. Doug, I don't know if you've ever traveled to another country or another place, and you just feel very familiar there, yet you've never, in this lifetime, has never been there.
Yes, I've had that happen to me many times.
Yes, and so this is sort of a way to let you know, hey, I've actually done this before. This is why it's so familiar, and it's sort of like a mile marker in the road to let you know that you're on your path. I know that there have been many people who have traveled to countries or even understood languages, or knew how to get somewhere, yet they had never been there before. So.
Well, that certainly is something that people will, something will trigger that in their memory, or they'll just feel that it's very familiar. I certainly had that when I studied Latin in school. It all seemed very familiar to me, and I'm convinced that at some point in the past, in one of my previous lives, numerous previous lives, that I was there in ancient Rome. And as difficult as Latin was to speak, I learned it with very little difficulty and was able to get very, very good grades in it all the way through school. In fact, I was so bad at math, I took 6 years of Latin, and that helped me with many other things in my career on the corporate side. And even to this day, you know, I find it very easy to learn and understand new languages if they're Latin-based. So I understand exactly what you're talking about. Maybe what you might want to do, Gina, is take a minute or two and go into a little bit of the background of what motivated you to write Flying Between Heaven and Earth and bring it out at this point in time.
Well, I feel like there's an important message in this story. And I've learned a lot of, like I've mentioned, the metaphysical things. And There's a lot of nonfiction material out there that's covered in the topics that are in the book, but there's not a lot of fiction. And I think in some ways the fiction will invite a bigger audience to this material than nonfiction, especially in the form of a book, where someone would have to go into a Barnes & Noble or a Borders and specifically go into the New Age section or to that section where this kind of material would be, whereas in fiction, it opens a broader audience. And in writing the book, it came to me one day while I was walking my dogs that this should really be written in fiction. And I originally started in nonfiction because I was learning a lot of things and saw some connections that other people had not made. But then the Matrix movie came out, and that was the big aha for me. And I saw that there is a way to present some very wonderful information in a entertaining way, in a multi-dimensional, multi-layered way for people to learn this information. And so I ended up rewriting the book into fiction and saw how I could tie this in with my career as a flight attendant. And saw
so it sounds almost like a term that I've heard used on the corporate side, edutainment.
Yes, indeed. And since then, we've seen quite a few movies that have come forth that have done that. V for Vendetta is one that comes to mind. That's one of my favorites.
Yes.
And, even the Da Vinci Code at some level has got some really great information. It wasn't quite as spiritually moving as some other movies like The Celestine Prophecy and things like that. But, again, I think appeals to a broader broader group, a broader audience, and they can take whatever they want from it. They can take it purely as entertainment, or they can look at it as on a deeper level, on a personal level. But I just want people to open their minds and start asking questions and realize that maybe the reality that's around us is not as it is, and to fly higher, to actually step up and look at the big picture, sort of like when I was on the airplane, just like we all talk about how people look like ants and then all of a sudden they're not there as you get higher and higher. And to just realize that maybe life is not exactly the way it is. And in the storyline, when I moved to California, I met with a movie producer who was talking to me about the book and how to make it into a film and TV series. And she asked me about what's the sense of urgency in the story and, where is this going? And at the time, I was finding out a lot about the information about the Mayan calendar. And so I've weaved that into the story as well, and it's become a very, very enlightening book. It's very compelling. It's very, very timely.
And I found it to be very, very light as well. It has a lot of fun parts in it as well.
Oh, yes, it's. I had a hard time trying to categorize it with the publisher because there's romance in it, there's humor, there's drama, there's sci-fi. It's the culmination of everything, and it really makes it exciting. And I think it's a book that especially from what I've heard from friends and people that I've talked to, that is refreshing because there's not a lot of fiction in the metaphysical area of books and the genre of books. So I think it'll be an easy read for a lot of people and enjoyable, and yet still feel like they're spending their time in something that will give them something that they can work with and see how there are things and pieces of it that they can apply to their lives and understand a new perspective, a higher perspective on what's going on, not only in their lives, but what's going on the planet. Because just like in The Matrix, I think there is definitely something going on. And so it's a matter of, do we want to take the blue pill or take the red pill? Do we want to really know what's going on, or do we want to just sort of stay asleep? But I was born in 1957, which is the year of the rooster. And I do feel like in many, many ways, Doug, maybe this is kind of funny to you or to people in the audience, but I feel like I do have to sort of go out and face the dark and go out alone. And
so sort of put on your armor and go out and do battle? Or?
Well, just to wait for the right time, to wait for the light, to wait for the dawning of a new day, to wake people up. And there are things in this book that will certainly wake people up, and there are some things I think will maybe a little controversial or stir up a few people who are sort of set in their ways or set in their thinking and aren't really willing to see the bigger picture, maybe not willing to see that, in fact, we are all on this planet, that we are all manifestations of the Creator, and that a Christian is no better or greater than a Muslim or anyone else, or if you're black or white or purple, or if you're an animal or a human, that we are all part of consciousness and that we're all part of creation, and that we are not here to have control or domination or destroy anybody or anyone.
And that's a very good point. So when you, in the book, the main character, or the main protagonist, as I think you referred to her, is Nicole, who is a flight attendant, and she gets in and out of all kinds of different situations with the light and the dark. And when you were building the characters for the story, did you use a lot of the people that you'd come across over the years and the as a flight attendant as some of the, are the real people behind some of the characters, I guess is the question.
Well, yes. You know, on an airplane, though, you don't get to spend a lot of time, especially in the last few years when they've cut the staffing down because of costs and the condition of the airline industry having to make so many cutbacks. But, yes, there certainly, after 28 years, a tremendous amount of material there to be used in characters, and I have done so, definitely used real-life people. I wanted to make this story as real as possible. And to you know, make it as
useful as you, so that everybody can take away something from the story?
Well, right, and so that if you've, obviously not everybody's been a flight attendant or a crew member, but from that perspective, it's very real, and from a passenger's perspective, it's very real. I've seen a lot of movies, and I've gone with a lot of friends of mine in the airline business over the years to watch a lot of airplane movies or flying movies. We just have to laugh because it's very, very unrealistic and really doesn't portray the way it really is on an airplane. And even as a frequent flyer yourself, I think you could see where they've sort of created things that aren't really going on there. So.
Well, I always feel that you never get told the truth, so...
Well, that's true. And there's a,
especially when it comes to a delay or a cancellation, I always feel that you're never really told the truth.
Well, there's a lot of things beyond the control of a lot of people, and I think when it actually gets, the information gets to the flight crew, we're the bottom, we're the last ones to really know anything. And some days I don't know that anybody really has a clue, you know, about the big picture. I'm sure they do at higher levels, but in some days, I think sometimes we just don't necessarily want to know. And that's true in all aspects of life. That's definitely true in all aspects of life. We want to invite some callers this evening.
Okay, and when you call in, Gina, do you have the phone number for them to call in on? I know that it's a toll-free number here in the U.S., and if you are interested in calling in, if you have a question for myself or Gina. And Gina, what's the phone number?
They can call 1-877-270-8714. That's here in the U.S., 877-270-8714. We invite you to call in, and we'll be glad to talk with you. But also, since the show is new, and we're laying a new foundation here, we invite you to call in if you have any guests that you would like to us to invite on the show, or if you yourself would like to be on the show. We ask that you could email us if you like, or you can call in this evening, as we want to make this a co-creative program to where we can all share what we think would be most beneficial to share amongst ourselves and with the listeners and with everyone out there.
Gina, I know that you've got several well-known speakers lined up in the weeks ahead. Maybe this might be a good time for us to mention who you've got coming up on the show. I know you've got four very prominent guests. Maybe you can introduce a couple of them, and this way let the audience know exactly what to look for in the weeks ahead.
Okay, well, this month we'll be joined by several authors and humanitarian light workers who are working very hard and very faithfully to help redirect our flight path to the highest potential. I am amazed when I meet these people and have the opportunity to read about their work. I'm sure, I think they must just give up eating and sleeping to do all that they do, but we're so honored and thrilled to be able to bring them to the show and share what's moving through them. And let's see, starting on Sunday, March 11th, we'll have Dr. Richard Jellicich with us. He holds a PhD in human science from the California Institute of Human Science, where he is on the faculty. He has studied psychoacoustics,
wow,
bioelectromagnetics, clinical biopsychology, consciousness expansion, philosophy, transpersonal psychology. He is the author of Eye of the Lotus, The Psychology of the Chakras.
Wow, that's very impressive. And then moving on, we also, well, also with Dr. Jellicich, he's a spiritualist minister and an adept spiritual healer. He's also a psychic with clients all over the world. He's got clients in every part of the world. He publishes Light News, which is a monthly online newsletter that focuses on self-empowerment and spiritual unfoldment. He also produces Metaphysics 101, which is a cable access TV show. And then when he has nothing else to do, he leads the Maya Sacred Path to 2012 program. And Gina, maybe you might want to expound on that a little bit.
Yes. Well, Dr. Jellicich is part of a tour that is offered each year leading up to 2012, which is the end of the Mayan calendar. And this program is created to help participants prepare for and deal with the many changes and shifts that are happening in our world. And if you check our website, flying-higher.com, you can get more information about Dr. Jellicich. And we have links there to his website, and you can get more information. And if you're interested in going to Guatemala and to Mexico and learning more about the Mayans, you can learn more about his trips that are going, again, every year until 2012. It's called this Maya Sacred Path to 2012.
And then keeping us on course on Sunday, March 18th, we'll be joined by Dr. Robin Falkoff. Dr. Falkoff is a licensed acupuncture physician. She's also a diplomat of the National Board of Homeopathic Examiners. Her focus is educating patients by informing them of the multiple choices available to achieve optimal health today, given some of the challenges that people have for their health. Robin believes that lifestyle changes and taking responsibility for our own well-being is the only way to really ensure any sort of successful treatment or successful results in our own personal health care.
Yeah, that's right. And Dr. Falkoff had the good fortune to be exposed to homeopathy over 20 years ago, and after that satisfying and successful experience, her interest was piqued to learn as much as possible about highly effective,
easy for you to say.
Yeah, really. There's highly effective modality.
Well, Robin also attended homeopathic classes and got clinical training as part of the accreditation curriculum for the Acupuncture and Massage College in Miami, down in warm, sunny Florida. She also received additional advanced training in traditional Chinese medicine in the master's program with that college.
Yes, and we're really excited to have Robin on the show on March 18th, because she has worked hard at informing people everywhere about the freedom of our medicine and our vitamins and health care. And she has been on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie, and we're real excited that she's going to be joining us here on Flying Higher again on Sunday, March 18th. And then the following Sunday, who do we have, Doug?
We have Autori. And Autori is a nice man from Oceania, down there by Australia, New Zealand, in that area of the world. And he has a series of powerful and profound life experiences that brought him into very, very close contact with consciousness from other dimensions, and has a profound understanding of his mission here on Earth that he will share with people. This other dimensional consciousness was later been further developed through his studies with mystics, scientists, and healers, so that he has a better understanding of it moving forward.
Yes, we're really excited to have Atori with us because he travels globally as a teacher, a speaker, a writer, and a healer, and a spiritual counselor. He operates as a transmitter of universal love, and he provides everyone with a tangible experience of who they are and how magnificent they are. His seminars and counseling direct people towards self-mastery and self-empowerment, which is what we can all use these days.
Absolutely.
So that we may experience our own master essence.
Atori's work is also, if you're ready for a really, really powerful acceleration into your journey for spiritual remembering, he'll be with us in the Spring 2007 Southern California Attainment Tour. So join us for this uplifting show on the 25th of this month. That's March 25th. Again, you can find out more on www.flying-higher.com. And then who do we have next, Gina?
Well, we'll be we're booked for Sunday the 15th with Dr. Susan Chomsky. And she's a highly respected professional speaker. She's a doctor of divinity and the author of Divine Revelation, which is in its 10th printing with Simon & Schuster and published in several languages as well as several other books that she has. So we're very excited about having her here. She has practiced self-development disciplines since 1967. I tell you, I hear about these people and I read about this and I think, what was I doing all this time? These amazing people have been on the path. That's very, very astounding, and we're so excited and privileged to have them with us.
Four of her books are Exploring Meditation, Exploring Chakras, Exploring Auras, and Miracle Prayer. Her personal mentor was Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, and she's very enlightened. He's a spiritual master from India. He was actually the guru to the Beatles and Deepak Chopra, and founder of Transcendental Meditation.
Wow.
Dr. Chomsky lived in his ashrams in secluded areas way up in the Himalayas, whichever way you want to say that, in the north of India. She was also in the Swiss Alps for 22 years and on his personal staff for 7 years, so she's very, very familiar with the teachings of Maharishi Mahesh Yogi.
Mm-hmm. And she also has studied New Thought and metaphysics for over 20 years. Since 1970, she's taught yoga, meditation, prayer, intuition to thousands of students in the United States, Canada, Europe, and the Far East. So this is going to be an amazing show. Again, that's on Sunday the 15th. She has done about 400 speaking engagements and had over 400 media appearances since her first book was published. Some of those, Doug, are including what?
Women's World Magazine,
yes.
Cosmopolitan.
There you go.
Cosmo comes up again.
There we go.
GQ, something that I sometimes gaze at.
Mm-hmm.
And national TV and radio. She's been. She's the founder of Divine Revelation, which is a complete technology for contacting the divine presence and listening to your inner voice. Mm-hmm. Now she travels extensively and continually, facilitating workshops, seminars, spiritual retreats, as well as tours to India and other sacred destinations around the world. So Dr. Susan Chomsky will be joining us on Sunday, April 15th. And who else do we have, Gina?
Coming in June, and I believe maybe again in September, is Barbara Hand Clow. Barbara is an international lecturer and workshop teacher and author of 11 books, including The Pleiadian Agenda and The Alchemy of Nine Dimensions. And I'm really excited about this. She has a new book coming out in May of this year entitled The Mayan Code, Time Acceleration and Awakening the World Mind.
And Gina, it appears like Barbara majored in philosophy at Seattle University and then behavioral psychology at the University of Washington in Seattle. Then later she began extensive reading and study of Reichian, Freudian, and Jungian psychology. And in 1969, she discovered that astrology was an exceedingly accurate diagnostic tool. I'm sure a lot of people would like to hear about that. And she began her study and practice of astrology at that time as well, so she's very, very well versed. She earned a master's degree in theology and healing, and she'll be joining us again when, Gina?
In June. She's scheduled for June of this year, and again probably in September. I believe right now she is in South Africa, and she will be here in the United States when her book will be released on a promotional tour for that. And again, we're very honored and excited to have her on our show, Flying Higher, here on BBS Radio Late Night. Again, if we have any listeners who'd like to call in and ask any questions or have any suggestions about guest speakers or anyone that you would like to hear on our program, we invite you to call in at this time.
And maybe you might want to give them the number one more time for anyone that tuned in later on.
You can call us at 1-877-270-8714. That's here in the U.S., and that is a toll-free call.
Okay. So when you were working on the research for Flying Between Heaven and Earth, and besides the drawing on the experience that you have as a flight attendant for all those years, was there anything else that really was the motivating factor for you to write the book at this point in time?
Well, like everyone else around the world, September 11th was an astounding day in many, many ways for me. I personally was not flying that particular day. I actually was attending a meeting at my daughter's school in Atlanta, and she was attending the international school there, and it was the most glorious morning because we were there with teachers and parents, and we're all working together and discussing together how to create a wonderful, loving environment for our children in this multicultural venue that they have at the international school. At the time, there were 65 different countries represented in the student body. And
so a virtual United Nations.
It really was a United Nations for children. And I believe it was like 26, 27 different countries represented in the faculty. So I was sitting here in this wonderful meeting with a woman next to me who was from Brazil and a gentleman who was on the other side who was from China, and a gentleman sitting on the other table from Zimbabwe and wearing all of his clothing from his native country.
All of his native dress?
Yes, and it was just so exciting and so universal and just felt so connected. And I got in my car and I turned on the radio after the meeting was over. We're all going back to our homes feeling like we've really brought our community together for our children so they can learn about all the different cultures and races and religions that are on our planet. And turned on the radio and I was like, what is this that I'm hearing? Is this something from a movie or what are they talking about? And that's when the first plane had gone into the tower, and then I made a few phone calls like most of us did, wanting to connect with friends and family and figure out what was going on. And I, at the time, did not have television. I had given up watching television several years before, so I went over to my parents' home to watch what was going on because it just was so surreal. It was incomprehensible what they were reporting on the news.
I think a lot of people felt that it looked so, it almost like it wasn't real.
Well, in some ways, I've come to find out later, in my own personal understanding that maybe in fact it wasn't. Maybe in fact it was something that was sort of staged. But it was disheartening because that was an environment, that was my world, was on an airplane. And it was one that I enjoyed. And in some ways I felt very cheated, and I felt very, not necessarily angry, but just disillusioned that people would actually use an aircraft as a weapon of destruction, as a weapon of terror. And I watched it until about noon, and then that was it. I never watched anything ever again, and I just chose not to read anything ever again because I knew it wouldn't serve my higher purpose. I knew that it wouldn't be able to contribute to me as a human being. It would not contribute to me as a daughter, as a mother, as a worker, as an employee. I knew that I would have to get up the next day and put on my uniform and go to work, and I would have to continue to do what I had to do. And
so would you say that this was kind of the catalyst that brought together your thoughts to put together the book Flying Between Heaven and Earth?
Not at that time, but in retrospect, I think that was certainly a launching point That again was one of the events that occurred during the process, during the 5 years that I wrote the book, that added to it, that made it very current, that made it very contemporary, that made it very compelling for people to understand. That was certainly something I had not expected, but that was the path that I was on and certainly made it very real. I don't really dwell too much on that in the book, but it's certainly part of the story, part of what's going on. But it's still sad because I think flying used to be such a wonderful experience for everybody. People used to dress up and put on their Sunday best, and
yes,
everybody, you know, was so excited about traveling and going somewhere. This was something that was cherished and it was exciting, and now it's like, oh, now I gotta go get on the airplane.
Well, as someone who started flying back in the mid-1960s myself, I could remember going up to the airport and getting out of the car and just walking in and handing them my ticket and getting on the plane. No one asked me about my luggage. No one asked me about what I was carrying. No one looked at me. They just looked at the ticket, which incidentally was handwritten. That's how long ago that was, and then just got on the plane, and I felt that that's the way it should be. It's sort of like when you go out and get on the bus or get in a taxi.
Yes.
And it was, as you said, it was an enjoyable experience, and people did look a lot better when they traveled, but now, of course, everyone is so wrapped in fear, and fear is something that I think is what you dwell on with the book, to show people that there is really no need to have so much fear in your life, and maybe you might want to expound a little bit on that for the audience.
Well, I, again, want people to see a higher perspective and a bigger picture of what's going on, and to see that there are, in my opinion, there are interests in trying to control and manipulate people, and I think the airline industry is one that they're is being used, but if one will understand and grasp the concept of reincarnation, I think then the fear lessens when you realize that this is the path and that everything is as it should be and that these are things that we have signed up for, that no one is really a victim in their lives in any way, that we've all made agreements before we've come here for a higher reason to experience these things.
Agreements? What sort of agreements?
Well, agreements for what we want to experience in this lifetime. And in one lifetime, maybe we killed, and in the next lifetime, we are the one who is killed. You know, we're switching roles. We're all experiencing different levels of consciousness, different levels of understanding, so that we can return back to the Creator, who is the all of all. And so I think this is part of our human evolution. And the thing that we have to keep in perspective, and especially with flying, I think people's perspective and people's expectations of this industry are totally out of alignment. And I think it's important for people to see, again, how out of balance this becomes and how the media and other forces use this to control and manipulate people to not really experiencing the fullness and the vibrancy and the excitement of life. I don't know if, Doug, if you ever listen to the news or on the radio or...
Well, I try not to. When I do, I always find that it's usually it's misinformation, or I should say misnews, because what they want you to do is they want you to look at something other than what really is going on and catch your attention that way. And use that. But I know before you mentioned, Gina, about previous lives and how we carry forward and we have experiences where we change position in the next life. There may be some folks out there in the audience listening this evening that don't necessarily understand or follow that belief about additional lives that we have. They may feel that the life that we're in is the only one that we have, and we have to, you know, make the best of it and do what's right. And maybe you might want to, is there anything that you would say to those folks that might give them a different perspective on past lives or what you're trying to bring out in the book?
Well, again, a lot of the information that I've read over the years, doctors, people who have come across information, not even intentionally, but even just stumbling on it, psychotherapists, psychologists, psychiatrists who do regression, who do hypnosis, have stumbled onto the fact that they can actually, while someone is under hypnosis or is in a trance-like state, remember not only information from their past in this lifetime, but other lifetimes. And then there are other doctors who have actually been able to delve into, like Dr. Bruce Greenberg, into future lives while people are in regression. Dr. Brian Weiss is another one who authored Many Masters, Many Lives. So I see this information as astounding. And then there are people who have had near-death experiences, like Danion Brinkley and others, who really bring forth some wonderful messages that life is not just now. It's eternal. And we're promised that even in scriptures. So there's really not a disconnect in this information. And if, in fact, you only believe in one lifetime, then knowing that you are where you are, you should embrace that opportunity.
And make it the best it can be.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, indeed. But the point I was making earlier was about how this flying is held to a standard that is really, to me, is sort of out of sync. And what I was talking about as far as listening to the news and stuff is, you know, we come up on holiday weekends in different events that happen, especially like 4th of July or things like that. And we're told how many people are going to die on the nation's highway. How many people are going to die on boating accidents on the lakes or on wherever people may be going. And yet, does anybody really think about, okay, maybe I shouldn't go out on the boat this weekend on the holiday, or maybe I shouldn't go on the highway because they just predicted that 300 people are going to die on the nation's highway? No, they don't think twice about it. They get in their car, they pack up the kids and the suitcases and the dog.
Well, because most people think it'll never happen to them.
That's true. But what if the airlines announced, okay, it's the holiday weekend, we're expecting about 300 people to die. Nobody would get on the airplane. And I don't understand why it is that way. I guess maybe it's a control factor. Maybe it's because the airplane's that high up and nobody wants to go that far. I don't know. I just find it interesting that flying is held to a standard that is so much, quote, higher than everybody else. In some ways, to me, is very unrealistic. You know, if there's a mechanical problem with an aircraft, I mean, it's all over the news all over the world, and yet we
That's
let
true.
People drive cars every day that are
with
jalopies,
bald tires,
jalopies, who don't have, you know, a technician or a mechanic inspect their car every time they drive out of the driveway, and yet they can do a lot of damage. They can kill people. They can drive into buildings. It happens all the time.
Well, that's certainly true. In fact, we see them on the news sometimes, don't
we? That's true. So I think people need to, I really want people to understand and see things from a higher perspective, that they need to continue to travel. They need to continue in their lives. And don't let the media keep you in fear. Don't let the media keep you from being with the people that you want to be with. Be it by car, plane, train, automobile, however you need to get where you need to go, and to just embrace life and enjoy life and to feel free. And there's a little saying with that angels, you know, they don't take themselves so seriously, you know, they're lighter. We need to lighten up, and I think to really enjoy the benefits that the Creator has given us in this beautiful world that we're in, and to embrace each other, and to look at the unity and quit looking at the separation, to quit looking at the division, quit being in judgment of each other. Because, Doug, you're a historian. You've studied history. You majored that in college. I mean, you see the pattern, how we keep repeating things in our lives, and we're just not getting the lesson here.
Well, in some ways, you can look at it that way. In other ways, you can say that each time that some event happens, that it's a new experience for humanity to raise the consciousness level. In the few more remaining minutes that we have before we finish with the show this evening, are there any thoughts that you would want to share with the audience that would truly, in effect, allow them to fly higher?
I invite people to go to the bookstores, go to the libraries, even on television, on radio, just like BBS Radio is bringing you wonderful alternative ways to look at things and to just step outside the box and to see the bigger picture, to see a higher perspective of what's going on, and even look at astronomy and realize how our planet is so small in the big scheme of things, how our solar system or even our galaxy is so small, it's just so tiny compared to the infinite reality of creation, and that we are, even though we are so small in all of that in our physicality, that we are all part of the bigger picture. Just like the ocean, that we are all parts of, a drop of an ocean is all part of the ocean, is all part of the bigger thing. And I just ask that everybody just celebrate life. Just as the Mayans did. They celebrated every single day. They knew there was an energy and an intention to every single day. And I want people in the days ahead, when you hear about the Mayan calendar, you hear about 2012 or 2011 or 2013 or 2018 or the galactic alignment, all of these things you're going to be hearing more and more information about, that just realize that an end of something is the beginning of something else, and that life on this planet has always gotten better. But there's phases that we go through, and that we need to elevate our thinking and elevate our behavior to open up to a higher reality of where we're going, and to get out of the same cycle of everything is just the same and we just keep repeating the same mistakes. So I just invite people to look at things in a better way and focus on the good in life. Look at the little children. Look at the animals. Look at the plants. Look at the beauty of everything and the magnificence of everything around us. I think that's what we need to focus on.
Well, if we do that, it will certainly allow us to raise our vibrational levels and to truly fly higher. Well, we've covered a lot of material here. I hope that you feel that we were able to get a better idea of what the book Flying Between Heaven and Earth is about. And certainly it lays a foundation with some good ideas and some good concepts for people to take and embrace and certainly put into practice in their daily lives. And at the same time, have some fun and laugh a little bit and cry a little bit and get involved with some of the drama that you have in the book. And now for next week, when we have Flying Higher, we have Dr. Jelusic, and as we highlighted before, he's a very, very well-known author and speaker. He's traveled extensively. He'll be able to share with us some great information on various topics, not just the Mayan calendar, not just the ascension, but also some things that can help in our daily lives to help us all to fly higher. Any final thoughts, Gina?
Again, the website for more information about Dr. Jelusic and for our other upcoming guests, if you go to www.flying-higher.com, you can read more about our upcoming guests on our website. And also, again, invite you to order the book Flying Between Heaven and Earth at www.flyingbetweenheavenandearth.com. And I'm excited, too, about the opportunities that we have here as we're working on the screenplay for the book as well. So that's exciting, and we'll keep our listeners posted on that.
Definitely. I think that'll be something that everyone will want to hear about.
Yes, and I'll be glad to share that with everyone on the next show. Again, we're on the late night, BBS Radio late night programming, and we are going to be here every Sunday from 7:30 to 8:30. And we invite you to send emails to us through the Flying Higher website. And if you have any suggestions for upcoming guests, please send that to us or any other suggestions that you may have as we start out this new program that is designed to inspire us all to a new altitude. And again, to rise above our limiting beliefs and the turbulence in our lives and the dark storms of negativity that certainly are surrounding us every day.
When you watch the news, you certainly get a good dose of that, don't you?
That is true. That is true. So again, thank you everyone for joining us. And Doug is going to be with us here on a regular basis when he's not traveling and doing his facilitation and training. And we're thrilled to have him here with us.
Thank you, Gina. He's working with
quite a few major international corporations. So again, thank you for your time and being here with us.
And just to wrap things up here, this is BBS Late Night, and thank you for joining us, Gina Jones, Gina E. Jones. Let's make sure that we put the middle initial in. And this is Doug Burley saying good evening from Flying Higher.
Good night.